Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Joining with us, my name's Andy. It is great to be together, and whether you are joining with us online or whether you're with me here in the room, you are so welcome. And today, I'm going to continue our all-church journey that we're calling Present, or God's Presence in Every Home. We've been exploring how we can anchor faith and following Jesus deeply in our own lives and households by pursuing practices and habits and rhythms that help us live in and encounter His love. We've been introducing a different practice every week to try out, and there are loads of different resources for you on our BCV Present webpage. It's full of ideas, how-tos, creative things to try for different age groups to engage in these practices and to begin to root them deeply into our lives and households. On top of that, our pastoral team have been busy visiting homes to pray for and to bless and to commission you and your household to really go on this journey. They've also been delivering a gift from us to you, the gift that's designed to powerfully remind you of God's goodness to you and your household and to pull you back in to reaching for more of His presence in your life. And if you haven't signed up for one of those visits and one of those gifts, but you'd really like to, we would love for you to do that. And so the easiest thing for you to do, if you'd like to sign up for that, is to email info@belfastcityvineyard.com, and we will get you on that list, and we would be delighted to come and pray for you, pray for your household, and give you this gift and commission you into more. Well, this week's practice is prayer. Last week we talked about the scriptures. Today we are talking about prayer. And some of us pray every day. It is a vital part of our life. Others of us are new to faith. We're new to prayer. And we're wondering, where on earth do I even begin with prayer? And still others of us have really struggled over the years that we've been following Jesus with prayer. And it's been a hard journey for us. And you know, we've never really had anyone take us by the hand and show us how to pray, like what practices to invest in order to root prayer deeply in our daily lives and habits. And maybe that's where you are. And prayer is a vast subject. We could speak about prayer for weeks and weeks and weeks. But again, on our resource page, there is lots of help. There are lots of things to try. Some new things for you, some different ways to pray, some resources for all ages and households to engage with prayer. There's even a simple little video where if you've never had anybody lead you by the hand and show you just a really simple way to begin a life of prayer, there's one from me there that I'd love to show you how to pray. You can watch that there. So there's lots of stuff there. But for today, I want to take us to the book of Acts to help us see what happens when we build and invest in a life of prayer. The book of Acts, if you've never read it before, records how the Holy Spirit filled and empowered the first Christians, and then how the church and faith in Jesus spread quickly all over the known world. It's full of the power of the Holy Spirit. It's full of action, and it's amazing, and you should read it through. It'd be wonderful. And to prepare for these series of talks, I took a delightful afternoon a couple of weeks ago and just did a little word search and looked up in the book of Acts how many times the word house or household shows up and what happens in houses and households in the book of Acts. And as it turns out, the word house and houses and households feature really prominently in the book of Acts, especially when it comes to prayer. It was often the only place that the first Christians could safely gather to meet, so that makes a lot of sense that the household features in the book of Acts. But listen, for us for the past 6 months, and then now for a few months more, the house, our houses, our households have been the only place or the primary place for us to meet with God. And I think that's important. I think God might want to say something to us with this. I believe the Holy Spirit is reminding us of the house and the household. And it won't be the only place, but what if it was the first place or the locus or the ground zero for our life with God and especially prayer? And that's what I want to talk to us about tonight. I'll give you a brief definition of prayer. This is from a theologian called Wayne Grudem. His definition is one I love. It's prayer is personal communication with God. We speak to Him in a variety of ways, and He, at times, speaks back to us. And prayer is an essential part, an essential practice if we want to grow in our life with Jesus. And I love Dr. Grudem's definition because it emphasizes the relational component of prayer. When we go to pray, we're not doing homework to make God like us better. We are communicating our hearts with Him, and we're hearing His heart communicated back to us at times. And there has never been a more important time than now to build our lives of prayer and to root them in our households. So I want to talk about two different episodes from the book of Acts and see what can happen when we give our lives to prayer, and then just make a quick observation, and then I want to pray for us to close. So the first thing that I want to talk about with a life of prayer is direction. Direction. And I want to take us to Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9 tells the story of how Saul, who would later change, his name would be changed to Paul, and he would become the greatest missionary church planter that we've ever seen. And he ended up writing a good portion of the epistles or letters that we have in the New Testament in our Bibles. But when we meet this guy, Saul, Paul, he is persecuting and killing Christians. And that's what's happening in Acts chapter 9, except he ends up going on a journey to Damascus and he meets Jesus. He has this vision of Jesus on the road to Damascus. And this vision is so intense that he's blinded and he's knocked off his horse. And then his servants are with him and they don't know what to do, so they lead him to someone's home, the home of a man called Judas. And he stays there for 3 days, blind and unable to eat. In another home, in another part of the same city, a man called Ananias, who's a follower of Jesus, he hears the voice of Jesus in a vision while he's praying, telling him to go to the house of this Judas and ask for this Saul, because Saul is praying. So you can see this in Acts chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. The Lord said to, he's talking to Ananias, the Lord said to him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. So Ananias knows who Saul is, and he knows how dangerous he is. And so he ends up asking the Lord, who's speaking to him, are you sure you want me to go and do this? And it turns out Jesus is pretty sure, because he says back to him, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And so Ananias ends up going, and he lays hands on Saul. He welcomes him as a brother. He prays for him. He ends up baptizing him, and Saul is able to see again. He's filled with the Spirit, and he begins his new life and direction as a servant and disciple of Jesus. And I want us to just imagine for a moment Saul's 3 days while he's in the house of Judas, this house on Straight Street. And imagine these 3 days of prayer. Ananias was told he is praying in this house. I'm sure he had so many questions. Questions like, what now? Will I ever see again? Where am I? And as David Byrne would say, how did I get here? Could this Jesus, who was crucified, really be the Son of God, the Messiah? And what does he want with me? What is going to happen to me? Imagine all these questions swirling around in him. In houses, among households, Saul was praying. Ananias was praying. And both men got direction and revelation and a few surprises. Saul found out his destiny and that Jesus is very much alive and well and was not his enemy, but was calling him into his mission. Ananias found out that no one is far from the redemption and mercy of Jesus, and that miracles are close at hand. Where do we need direction, discernment, revelation? Those are things that we find when we give ourselves to a life of prayer. What might Jesus show you in prayer? What might he speak to you in prayer? What might he surprise you with in prayer? Wisdom and discernment and direction are available from Jesus to his people, but we are fooling ourselves if we think it's going to come in the post, in an email, in some kind of download. It will come through the deep, powerful, often slow work of a life of prayer. Now be encouraged. For Saul, it only took 3 days. But many of us have big questions about our future, the world we are now in. We may have questions about our jobs. We may have questions about the situation with this virus. We may have questions about faith in Jesus and so many other big things. Well, what if your questions aren't things to be buried and put away? What if your questions aren't things to be ignored or even some kind of fault or defect that you wish you didn't have? What if your questions are invitations to build a life of prayer rooted in deeply in your household daily rhythms? And what if we seized this moment that we're in right now? What deep questions might be answered in this season? What people might we be sent to in this season? What surprises are awaiting us in prayer? What if we found out from Jesus some of these answers as we're in the place of prayer? And as these new restrictions have come in Northern Ireland, I just have a sense that we can meet them with anxiety or we can meet them with prayer. And what if we, over the next weeks of these restrictions, instead of fretting in the presence of the Lord, prayed in the presence of the Lord and began to ask, Lord, what do you have for me even in this season of new restrictions? Who are you sending me to even in these seasons of new restrictions? And what if we got dramatic, dynamic answers from him? There's direction in the place of prayer. I also want to talk about tonight what happens when we just keep showing up for prayer. The best advice anyone has ever given me about prayer and building a life of prayer for the long haul, building prayer into the rhythms and practices of my daily life. The best advice I ever got came from my friend, Peter Burns. And I remember him talking to me about this, and this is his advice. Are you ready? Keep showing up. Keep showing up for prayer. Day in, day out. Whether or not you feel like it, whether or not you're distracted, or bored, or you doubt that God exists, or are fired up and feel like he's right there in the room with you, keep showing up. Do not surrender the ground of prayer. Ronald Rollheiser says it like this: prayer is a relationship, a long-term one, and lives by those rules. Relating to anyone long-term has its ups and downs. Nobody can be interesting all the time, sustain high energy all the time, or fully invest himself or herself all the time. What sustains a relationship long-term is ritual, routine, a regular rhythm that incarnates the commitment. Prayer works the same way. That's why the saints and the great spiritual writers have always said that there is only one non-negotiable rule for prayer. Show up. Show up regularly. The ups and downs of our minds and hearts are of secondary importance. What happens when we simply keep showing up is a life and practice is built that sustains us, but also is fertile soil for God to then act in. And I believe we see this in Acts chapter 10. Two very different men practicing daily prayer, showing up for daily prayer rooted in a household. First, we see Cornelius, and Cornelius is a soldier. He's a God-fearing Gentile. So he's not a Jew, he's a Gentile, but his heart is really drawn to the God of Israel, and he needs to meet Jesus. And this is what the scriptures say about him. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. And Acts chapter 10 goes on to tell us that Cornelius sees an angel in a vision, and the angel tells him this: that God has heard his prayer and has seen his service. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. So God's heard his prayer and seen his gifts to the poor. And God's saying, now is the time. Now is the time. And so the angel tells him to send for Peter. And meanwhile, Peter is at the home of Simon the Tanner in Joppa. So he's in a home. And it tells us this is what he's getting up to. At noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And again, so Peter's praying. At noon, it's one of the fixed times of prayer in the early days of the church and in Jewish life. So he's up there on this roof, he's praying, and he has a vision. And the summation of this vision is that both Jews and Gentiles are welcome in the kingdom of God through Jesus. Gentiles, men like Cornelius. So Peter ends up going to Cornelius' house, traveling to that city, to Caesarea, and he ends up telling Cornelius' whole household who's gathered before him, tells them about Jesus, they come to faith, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and the church is changed forever. It, after that point, begins to reach out to Gentiles and spreads out to the ends of the earth. And it started because two different men showed up for prayer. You could even argue from this verse here, verses 9 to 10, that Peter went to the roof to pray, but ended up getting really distracted because he got hungry, and he went down, told somebody to prepare him a meal, and then went back up to, you know, try and finish praying and all that stuff. So the next time you're trying to pray and you get really hungry, your patron saint is Peter, right? My point is this: neither man, when they went to pray, expected this to happen. There was no indication that this particular day was special. They just were doing what had become their habit and practice. They were showing up for prayer. And God sovereignly chooses that now is the time. Now is the time for encounter and revelation and action. Well, I believe that now is the time for us. Now is the time that the Holy Spirit is restoring things to households. And as we embrace practices like prayer, as we show up for prayer in our daily lives, He will meet with us. And there is still revelation and encounter and action empowered by the Holy Spirit to be had. In our day, in our households, in our city, in our workplaces, it's still there to be had. A life in prayer is the beginning of action. So for both of these men, it began in prayer, but it spilled over into action. And the gospel is still being preached to the ends of the earth, even today. Prayer is the beginning of action. Listen to this from Dallas Willard: the more we pray, the more we think to pray. And as we see the results of prayer, the responses of our Father to our requests, our confidence in God's power spills over into other areas of our life. Don't you want that? Don't you want the confidence in God's power to spill over into every area of your life? That happens in the place of prayer. The first followers of Jesus were secure in him, and they were confident in his power. And they sustained that fire by daily practices of prayer. And what if we made this our practice, to build a life of prayer that overflows in confidence in him and ends up sending us out in his power? The question is, will we show up for prayer? And maybe it's okay that you aren't always on fire when you pray. Maybe it's okay that you get bored sometimes or lots of times when you pray. Or maybe it's even okay if you're like me, occasionally you fall asleep when you pray. What if the only mistake in prayer that you can make is not showing up? A life showing up in prayer led to salvation for a household, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and a new move of the Spirit propelling the church to a whole new mission field. What might it do in your life? What might it do in my life? What might it do in our day? Again, I believe that in this time of some renewed restrictions, it's time to show up for prayer. Well, lastly, I just want to make an observation about what happens with households in the book of Acts and talk about building house to house. And it's a little bit of a strange place to add, but hopefully we'll to end, but hopefully we'll end up being encouraging for us. So just, you need to go with it a little bit. I mentioned earlier that I took an afternoon and did my word search through the book of Acts on house and household, and I saw the Holy Spirit do so much in houses and households, and it was prayer, it was salvation, it was healing, it was miracles, it was discipleship and teaching, it was hospitality. It's just all over the place. And if you have an afternoon, just do that same search and you'll be amazed. But I did find one reference to houses and households that was really sobering, and that was in Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, we see a great persecution sweeping Jerusalem, and the church is attacked and scattered. And it's a dark time when the enemy is trying to destroy the church. And we find out, again, why Ananias feared Saul before he became Paul, before he meets Jesus, because he was one of the prime movers. He was moving against the church to destroy it. And how did he do it? We see it in Acts 8:3. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. He went house to house. I believe in this season and in every season, the momentum for faith and life and growth is in the household, where the daily practices of our lives happen, where worship, confession, the scriptures, prayer, and more are built into our lives powerfully as we follow Jesus. That's where the momentum is and has always been. But it's also the place where the battle is lost, where the battle actually is most fierce. No church service, mission project, sermon series can replace vibrant household faith. And what if that's where the enemy goes first? For the household and faith in the household. But be encouraged. The Holy Spirit is breathing on us again. He's breathing on his church again. And he's issuing this invitation all over again to root our faith and life and discipleship deeply within practices, habits, and rhythms. They keep us in the love of Jesus, all rooted in our households, which is, in this season, the primary and only place we can really be and gather. And that goes for whatever your life and household looks like. And if we can see the strategy of the enemy to destroy faith house to house, we can then see where to strengthen, and that is house to house. So let's not fail. Let's seize this moment. Let's not fail to show up. Let's pray. Let's strengthen the walls. Let's strengthen our households. Let's show up for ourselves. Let's show up for our neighbors. Let's show up for our family, our friends, our church, and our city. Just as we move into a time of ministry, I just felt a couple of things for us. I just felt that I wanted to pray for anyone, whether you're watching this online at home or you're with me in the room, that you're actually feeling the stirring of the Holy Spirit, like the fire of the Holy Spirit stirring you to pray and intercede. I just want to pray for us for that. I also had a sense that there were others of us that maybe we've been away from Jesus for a long time, or we've never committed our lives to following Jesus. And just like Ananias found out that no one is far from the love and mercy of Jesus, you're finding out right now in this moment, as I'm speaking to you, that neither are you. You are not far from his love and his mercy and his salvation. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to begin following him. So I'm going to just, if you want to begin following Jesus, if you want to encounter him as friend, brother, and Lord, and begin following him, would you just pray with me? You can pray in your heart, maybe put your hand over your heart. Just reach out in prayer. Lord Jesus, I call on your name. I call on your name. I confess that I have done wrong, and I need you to forgive me, and I need you to save me, and I ask you to do that now. And I invite you to move into my life today. Take control. Give me your wisdom, your peace, your hope. I want to follow you. Fill me with your presence and your spirit. And if you prayed that prayer and you're in the room tonight, I'd love to speak with you and pray with you further. If you prayed that prayer and you're watching online, would you email me, andy@belfastcityvineyard.com, and I would love again to pray with you, connect with you, and to help you keep going on your journey with Jesus. Right now, wherever you are, if you're online or in the room, I want to invite you to stand. And I want to pray two things. I want to pray about those who feel stirred to pray, and I want to pray over those of us who feel anxiety around our finances, jobs, our future, what's happening with our children and their opportunities for the future. And I want to just do a little exercise with a passage of Scripture, and then I'll bless us and give us a benediction and dismiss us. So first, I'm going to pray for those who are stirred to prayer. So wherever you are, online, in the room, just put your hand on your heart, and I'm going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, I pray you would stir up men and women of the Vineyard to pray. I pray that we would seize this moment, that we would not be afraid to pursue you in the day and in the night. So would you call out intercessors? Would your fire fall on us? And would we meet these difficult and anxious moments? Would we meet them with prayer? Would we stand in the gap for brothers and sisters and family members and even for this city? And would we build muscles in prayer that keep us firmly in your will and also fling us out to love and serve all around us? We pray for your fire to fall on men and women gathered together and scattered across this city. Would you help us become even more of a praying people and a praying church? I pray for those who've never really prayed before, that you would just spontaneously and supernaturally burn in us to pray, and that this would be the season where we begin to run in this. And I pray, Father, I just thank you for all the answers to prayer that are going to be coming. We just know that you're faithful, and we know that you love to stir your people to pray and call on your name. So would you commission prayers and disciples in Jesus' name? And we lift up now all who can hear my voice, who are anxious stressed and worried about our finances, about our jobs, about our futures, about our children or grandchildren, about friendships, or about our city and about our world. And I pray for the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read out one short verse. So whether you're at home or in this room, put your hand on your heart and hear the words of Jesus to you from the Word of God. I'm going to read it two or three times, very simply. Just receive the words of Jesus to you. This is from John chapter 14. It's just verse 1, John 14, 1. This is Jesus speaking to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Lord Jesus, we proclaim in faith that you are good, and in you somehow there is always enough. So would you rest on men and women here? Would you rest on men and women all over this city who are listening to this? We say that we trust you. We give you our troubled hearts and ask for your peace in return. We proclaim and cry out that we have a strong Savior. And we worship you and we rest in you. And would you give us your peace? Amen. If you are watching this online and you would like further prayer ministry, get in touch with us on our BCV webpage and you can book a Zoom slot and we would be delighted to pray with you this afternoon. If you are here with me in the room and we would love to pray with you, and what you need to do is just stay in your seat while the rest of us are dismissed. So whether you're at home or you're in the room with me, I want to pray a blessing and a benediction over us and send us out into all the good things that the Lord Jesus has for us. And I want to send you out and bless you out into a renewed life of prayer and intimacy with Jesus. So now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.